Amen. Thank you, praise team. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 3. Remain standing for just a moment while we look at our text today. And we'll be going also to Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Of course, Revelation contains the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to John while he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And there he came to appreciate the great power and love and grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were seven letters that were written by Jesus to the churches. And this letter that we're going to look at today talks about how we ought to have a hot zeal for God and be bright and shining with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Spirit of God indwells us and fully influences our lives. So if you look at Revelation chapter 3, we'll look at verse 14. Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we pray now today that every one of our hearts might be touched by the Spirit of God and the words of God, that we might have the moving of God in such a way that we stand in awe and sin not, that we recognize how great our God is and how awesome it is to be the place that you have chosen to indwell. And I pray today for that one here who's not yet received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that today they might take your free offer of salvation and eternal life and forgiveness. And I pray that that Christian here who is lukewarm and content with it might be shaken in their heart and brought to a place of repentance toward God and renewed faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that those of us who have some measure of heat need more. Those of us who shine with some brightness need to shine even more brightly, because the days are evil and the time is short, and we have a great responsibility to represent our Savior. May what we do today and respond today by the Holy Spirit be something we'll be pleased with at the judgment seat of Christ. May it be gold, silver, and precious stones, and not wood, hay, and stubble. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. You know, some people change when they see the light, and some people change when they feel the heat. So it behooves us who are called ambassadors in the Word of God, who represent Jesus Christ to this world, that we have both light and heat. And that when people see us, they see a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us as the hope of glory. Now, Jesus in this text and in Matthew chapter 5 that we're going to look at briefly as well gives us three major dangers that will dampen our flame and dim our light. And so we want to look at them today. The first few verses we read in Revelation chapter 3 talk about how complacency is corruption. He said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, Jesus said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Complacency is basically corruption. Lukewarm is not good enough. A lot of people say, I'm lukewarm. I've got some heat. I'm fine. No, Jesus said lukewarm is not good enough. You may have a fire deep down inside, but it's not doing anybody any good. It's got to be unbanked. It's got to be evident through your life. I wrote some quotes down from some of the commentators that I read, and I want to read them to you to start today. Albert Barnes wrote here, the image is intensely strong and denotes deep disgust and loathing at the indifference which prevailed in the church at Laodicea. The idea is that they would be utterly rejected and cast off as a church. Many former church buildings around our city and around New England stand as a testimony of the fact that that happens. You can drive out toward Boston Road and see churches out there, buildings out there that used to house the congregations of Jesus Christ, and now they're buildings that are used for other purposes. Barnes went on and said, all professing Christians and Christian churches that are lukewarm have a special reason to dread the indignation of the Savior. Matthew Henry said, lukewarmness or indifference in spiritual things is the worst temper in the world. If Christianity is the real thing, it's the most excellent thing, and therefore we should be in genuine earnest in it. If religion is worth anything, it's worth everything. Any indifference here is inexcusable. Why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow him. Here's no room for neutrality. An open enemy is less guilty than a lukewarm professor. Christ expects that men should declare themselves in earnest either for Him or against Him. Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth. When He said that in Luke 12, suddenly He's letting go the volcano in His own heart, and the fire is already burning there, and He came forth to set the world on fire, basically. The passion in Christ's heart would set His friends on fire and set His foes against Him. Here's spiritual flame which results in the division between those who receive His fervent love and those who adamantly reject it. Paul told the Thessalonian church, quench not the Spirit. I looked up that word. It means don't put out the flame. It means don't dampen the fire of the zeal of God. Have zeal with knowledge, yes, but have the zeal of God. We ought to be able to tell people, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. See how I have enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. See how I'm on fire with the fire of God. We need to stop putting out the flame. Since the Holy Spirit inspires all true prayer and gives us grace to serve, His operation is likened to fire. When His influence is burning in your heart, nothing can put it out. Solomon said, many waters cannot quench love. We need to have a holy, burning love. Remember, the apostles failed miserably. They told the Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never do it. And they did. They denied Him. They failed miserably. In fact, Peter even cursed and swore so that they'd know he's not a follower of Jesus Christ, because he was afraid. They were embarrassed and they were afraid. They'd failed to show their love and loyalty. They forsook Jesus. They'd failed to demonstrate manly courage. And as He was crucified, they ran away and they actually went to a private house and they hid away. And Jesus died and was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again and He appeared in their midst and stood right there in front of them. And He basically was saying, here I am, do you still love me? He said that to Peter, you remember. Do you love me? And when Jesus promised there at that time, the promise that met their needs, He told them, I'm going to endue you with power, you failures. You know you're not hotshots spiritually, don't you? You figured that out, amen? They had figured it out. I'm sure they were embarrassed. I've been embarrassed like that, have you? But Jesus said, you shall be endued with power from on high, and you'll be witnesses unto me. And right there in that moment, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God came upon them. And all that fear kind of melted away. All that lukewarmness was gone from their hearts, and they were filled with the zeal of God, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I need. Is that what you need? We need the zeal of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the angel said to John the Baptist's father, he's going to be great, your son. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Later on, Jesus commented on his life, and he said, he was a burning and shining light. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why. How long has it been since you gave a clear witness of the gospel to somebody? How long has it been since you gave a clear witness of the gospel to somebody? Or, I mean, can I ask it this way? Have you shut your mouth like Jeremiah did? Jeremiah shut his mouth. You know why? Because he found that every time he preached the word, it was a reproach to him. Every time he preached the Bible, every time he told somebody about Jesus, he got in trouble. And he got pressure from the devil and from those who were slaves of the devil. It was difficult for him. And so the Bible says, since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I started to meditate on the Bible. I started to think about God. And while I was musing, the fire burned, and I couldn't stay. I couldn't stop. I had to start preaching again. I had to stop holding back, and I had to tell people about Jesus. Amen? If you let the Word of God in your heart, you let the Holy Spirit control your heart like He wants to, you will be amazed at the fire that He'll create inside of you. The other day I was meditating on the Lord and thinking about the Lord and sitting cloistered in my office, and I said, I got to get out there. I got to get out there. I got to go tell somebody about Jesus. So I just started out walking around, going somewhere. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have an appointment. I didn't have anybody to visit. So I went out to Eastfield Mall. And I was armed with a bunch of tracts. And I'm walking in the mall, and I got these people as they came in the door, and I talked, had a real good conversation with the whole family there in the doorway. And then I'm walking down the mall, and as I'm walking down the mall, one of the security guards is walking behind me. And I didn't know that. So I'm passing out tracts here and there, you know, to people in the mall, and just kind of minding the Lord's business. And the security guard came up to me, and he stopped me, and he said, hey, you're not allowed to be doing this in the mall. We have a policy. You've got to get permission to do this. I said, well, I'm just passing out good news about Jesus Christ. Here, would you like one of these? No, I don't want one. I'm not interested. You got to quit that. I said, all right, all right. So I went down to the mall office to get permission. But they were closed at the mall office. So I said, all right, well, I'll get the name and address and number and everything. And then I walked outside, and I said, well, I'll just pass out tracts on my way back to my car. I'll go way around the mall. So I'm witnessing to people, waiting for the bus and talking to them about Jesus, you know, and having a good time. But the mall security officer has one of these walkie-talkie things. And he had talked to the other mall security officer who drives around looking for terrorists. And sure enough, he comes up to me. He says, you were told you're not supposed to be doing this, and you're out here doing it some more. I said, well, I thought this was a free country, and I didn't know I couldn't do it in the parking lot. I was told not to do it in the mall, but no, he said, this is mall property too. I said, all right, well, you need Jesus too. Do you want a gospel tract? I'd like to give you one. No, I don't want one of those. No, thank you. And he wasn't too happy with me. So I went in my car and I drove away, and
I was wrong, but I had fun. And I said, well, I'm going somewhere else. I'll find some. There are sinners everywhere. The woods are full of them. So I went down to Walmart, and now I'm down there at Walmart. And I'm passing out tracts in the parking lot, and I get inside, and, you know, being discreet and not bothering anybody, you know, just kind of walking around. And then I got in line, and a lady in front of me, she went over and got some bananas and put them in her cart. I said, you're going to get your potassium, aren't you? She said, yes, I am, yep. So I broached the conversation with her, and we started talking, had a nice conversation there in line. Long line, great opportunity. So I gave her a gospel tract, and I talked to her about Jesus. But you know, if you'll get it in your heart, and then I went downtown, I'm witnessing downtown just on the streets, and people are everywhere that need the Lord, amen? And if God gets the fire burning in our hearts, we'll want to witness to somebody. We'll want to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I told my daughter that I'd done that. She said, Dad, you're going to get in trouble. And she told her husband, my son-in-law, Justin. And Justin texted me, and here's what he texted me. Headline, crazy Jesus lover spreads good news at local mall. I thought that was pretty cool. And by the way, you're not allowed to do what I was doing at the mall, so you got to be more discreet than I was. Got to watch for the security guards. And you maybe sit on the mall seat or something, and when somebody comes up to you, just start a conversation with them. Be a little more wise and harmless, as you know, like Jesus said, you know the verse, right? But we need to have the fire burning, and then we'll start talking for Jesus. We'll start witnessing for the Lord. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, Paul said to Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Put wind to the fire. Rekindle the flame. Don't just sit on it. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? And you'll have fun doing it, and people will get saved. I had two ladies saved last week. Just knocked on their door, came to their house, and they were very gracious and receptive, and Shirley and Mary both received Christ as their Savior. And they're out there. They're willing if we'll just go out, and God will lead you. God knows who will be receptive. Did you know that? God knows who's going to receptive to the gospel. But we need to be sowing the seed. We need to be reaching out with the gospel. And so Paul said to Timothy, stir up the flame. Stir up the fire. And Peter said, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. When I was a kid, we didn't have an oil furnace. We didn't have a gas furnace. We had a coal furnace. And the coal truck would drive into the back of our house and open the cellar window. And he would put that chute down there, and the coal would go down into the coal bin. It was a block area in the corner of the cellar, and the coal bin would be there. And my dad would fire up the furnace, and at night he would bank the fire. He would close the grate, the damper. He'd close the damper in the grate, and that would bank the fire, and that would keep the fire from flaming up. It would still be burning inside, but during the night it'd get cooler in the house, of course, because the fire was banked. Then he'd get up in the morning about 4:45 to go to work at Robert Shaw's. And he'd go down in the basement, and he'd open up the grates and open up the furnace, and then he would stir it up, and he'd unbank the fire. And when he unbanked the fire, then he could throw some more coal in there, and that thing started raging. I mean, it's burning so fast and so heavy you can hear it upstairs. It's, you know, and it warms up the house. And some of you have been living your Christian life with banked fires. Your fire's been banked. You used to have more love and more zeal, but now you're just kind of banked. You need to unbank the fire today. This would be a good thing for you to do. Amen? Unbank the fire and get fired up about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God will permeate your heart
and you'll be able to spread the good news. Many of us are conserving our coal beyond the night. We need to unbank the fire. When the flame burns brightly, the Holy Spirit will be free to direct you to those who are receptive to the gospel. Complacency is corruption. And then look what Jesus said in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Start being faithful in the fires of life. Start going through your trials with trust and confidence in the Lord, that you may be truly rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Put yourself back into a close relationship. Be clothed with the garment of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. Comfortableness is compromise. They just kind of folded their hands and said, I am cool. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. I'm just comfortable. I got a nice life. I got a job. I got a family. I got enough to eat. Got a roof over my head. I'm comfortable. I'm okay with that. Jesus said, I'm not okay with that. I've given you all that you have. What are you doing with what I've given you? The most precious thing I've given you is the good news. It's not just for you. I gave it to you as a stewardship. I gave it to you as a responsibility. And you need to be communicating the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen? You need to be giving it out. You need to be looking for opportunities strategically, yes. And doing all you can to spread the good news and to have your fire burning brightly. Complacency, somebody said, is a blight that saps energy, dulls attitudes, and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with things as they are. The second is rejection of things as they might be. Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown, mistrust the untried, and abhor the new. Like water, complacent people follow the easiest course, downhill. They draw false strength from looking back. I remember when. I remember what it used to be, not what it is now. You're living with God and with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? You're living with great opportunity. And we need to use the opportunities that God lays before us. Recently, where Don Stone is in Hong Kong, they had a conference there that Jim Cimbala was one of the speakers at. And in that conference, they had many Christians from communist China who had come to Hong Kong to be trained and taught. Many of them were leaders, pastors in underground churches in communist China. And they suffer greatly. The Chinese government has tried to purge the country from Christianity. They've tried for years to rid the nation of Christianity. But God has caused the churches to flourish in communist China. And there are millions of Christians there. It's amazing. And these Christian pastors came to be trained and helped. And as they're there in this conference, they sang a chorus, a gospel song, a praise chorus just before the preacher got up to preach. And here's the gist of the song. Since you died for us, we now offer ourselves to die for you. Since you gave yourself on the cross, how can we do less than give ourselves for you? So come what may, whether we live or whether we may die for you, we belong to you. Half of them had been in prison, half of those pastors. Some of them had died for their faith in the Lord prior to their coming. There they had brothers and sisters who had died as martyrs. The only way to live with daily threats and hatred is by the powerful help of the Holy Spirit. He's God's agent on earth. We should never say, I'm sufficient in ourselves. Amen? I'm rich and increased with goods. The man who sings his own praises is usually off key. Amen? Zephaniah, God said in Zephaniah 1:12, I'll search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Settled on their lees, that means the dregs of the wine, the grape juice, have fallen to the bottom. And that settling there, God is saying, is the way people are when they become complacent and comfortable in their situation. The Laodiceans had their needs met. They knew the Bible. They knew Christian ease. But Jesus said, your attitude is sickening. You make me sick. That's what Jesus said. We need to recognize that Jesus is looking at our lives, and He wants our lives to witness of His great grace and goodness and merciful presence. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, He's made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus sometimes prayed with strong crying and tears. We need to pray and seek the Lord with all of our hearts. The angels must weep when they see how disinterested we are in prayer. All merit is in the Son, Andrew Barnard said. All power is by the Spirit. Jim Cimbala said, in its purest form, prayer has a raw fervency and a faith that prevails with God and secures answers otherwise thought impossible. No Christian, said Finney, ever prays right unless he's led by the Spirit. Paul says, likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weakness, for we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He makes communication with God. Prayer is learned by praying, and the heart usually learns faster than the head. You know, I told you about D.L. Moody. He was a semi-literate preacher from Chicago, and he was saved in Boston. He mispronounced all kind of Bible words. He was kind of squat and heavy set and had a big beard and didn't look like a preacher. But he had the power of God. God was just all over him. And God used him mightily to shake two continents. And God can use us. He can use you. Amen? If you'll just put yourself into His control. Colossians said, Paul said, I labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. So stir up the fire in your soul. Flip over real quick to Matthew chapter 5 now, would you please? Matthew chapter 5. And notice Jesus said in verse 14 in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Read verse 16 aloud with me. Ready? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Concealment is contradictory. The reason that you light a light is so it will be able to shine. Amen? You don't cover it up. You let it shine. You focus it. You use it. You employ it to give light to all that are around. So keep the light exposed. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We may boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 Thessalonians 2:2 says, even after that we had suffered, Paul said, before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We need to have that boldness by the grace of God and open up the light for others to see and display a wise and clear presentation of Jesus Christ. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a what? It's a light unto my path. Shows me what to say, where to go, what to do. Our eyes brighten, you know, when we talk about the Boston Celtics or the Bruins or the Yankees or whoever your favorite football team. Or when we talk about, you know, whatever, our hobby. I've watched guys at the gym a lot of times when I go there. And they'll be Christians there at the gym, and they'll talk about Christianity a little bit. But when somebody mentions the Celtics or the Red Sox, man, they get animated. Their eyes just brighten up, and they come alive. It ought to be the other way around.
Amen? We ought to become more excited about Jesus Christ and being forgiven from our sins and having hope and eternal life than anything else, and we ought to never get over it. Should never get over it. Let's be proud of Jesus. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Your personality plus the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God is an unstoppable force as you uniquely shine with the zeal of God in your heart. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more under the perfect day. Now, I was over at Jared's the other day. While we were over there, he was showing me some of the damage from the October storm and so forth. Jared lives in Westfield, has a house in the woods. And he cleared a big area in the woods, and a lot of the brush he brought over and made a fire pit there. And, you know, it was after the rains, and there were leaves, and everything was green, so it was a pretty safe time. And he built a fire and had the fire one day, and there was still some embers after he was done. But he had to go to work and work that night, and came back the next day, and he got a stick where the fire was and just stirred it a little bit, and whew, I mean, it just ignited, and like somebody poured gasoline on it, because that bank fire was just ready to explode. And all it took was just a little stirring. I hope God's Holy Spirit has given you a little stirring. God can hit a mighty powerful lick with a crooked little stick. That may be you. Just put yourself in His hand. Let Him give you some zeal again. Let Him make you more excited about Him than you are about whatever. Amen? It's all going to be passed away real quick. But He's going to live forever with you. And those you rescue from the pit of hell who receive Christ as their Savior, they're going to be with you in heaven. Amen? That'll be your joy for all of eternity, to have some souls there and say, these are ones that God enabled me to tell the good news to. And they receive Christ as their Savior. Amen? What a joy. What a privilege. Would you let what the Holy Spirit said today stir your heart? Take the cover off and let your light shine so that God can get some glory. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You today for Your presence. And Lord, I pray that You would help us. We are so needy. We can do nothing without You. Without You, we can do absolutely nothing that lasts for eternity. And we need You to fill us with Your blessed Holy Spirit, that we might be accurate and living representations of Jesus Christ, who lives inside of us and has that fire, has that brightness that we need. Lord, I pray You'd bless Your people, those who've received Jesus, that the steps You want them to make would be made today. Get a hold of our hearts, Lord. Time is so short. And what we need to do, we should do quickly. So help us. The work of the Lord requires the haste that You can give us. Help us to use the time. Redeem the time in these evil days. I pray You bless homes today where there's been strife and turmoil. I pray You bless families where there's been unchristlike attitudes. Help us to recover our spiritual condition. Help us today meet the needs. And Father, I pray for that one here, that man, that lady that has not yet received Jesus. Please, Lord, work in their hearts that they might pray a prayer of faith, and take the gift of God, knowing that Jesus died for them, that He paid in full for all the wrong that they've done, that we don't have to trust ourselves, we can trust Him. May they come today and receive Jesus as their Savior. Let someone take the Bible and show them plainly and clearly how to be forgiven, how to receive Christ. Bless our time of decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please.